good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Gavin, all coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon ruined. We are always happy to hear from you. We are going to have a real busy show today. All kinds of guests. Dan Schaefer will be here, his new day to recombobulate. Normally, Dan joins us on Tuesdays. We've made a little adjustment, so we're going to be recombobulating every Friday now at 10:30.
It's like when a TV show gets a new time slot.
Right.
Nothing crazy.
No.
Just trying some new.
Yeah, just a different, you know, little adjustments, little scooches here and there. 11:33, Mike Clemens, who is with Civic Media, he will be reporting live from Las Vegas. He is there for Sunday's Taylor Bowl.
The large game.
The sports ball of sports balls.
The commercial palooza.
That too.
Yeah.
Lots of money involved there.
Oh, yeah.
So stay tuned for that. It should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to talking to Mike. He's done 18 mm-hmm. Super Bowls.
Yeah.
It's remarkable.
Do you think he's like bored with them at this point?
No. Okay. He genuinely loves it.
Okay, good.
And he loves looking for unique stories.
Yeah.
And when I was setting up the time for him to come, when we were emailing back and forth, and I told him at the end, I just said, get some sleep. Because when you're on the road like that, all you do is work.
I can imagine. And that's...
It's a lot of work. I was there when the Packers won the Super Bowl in New Orleans. And we broadcast the week leading up to the game.
Yeah.
And it's really a lot of work. So he laughed when I said, get some sleep. And he said, actually, I'm going upstairs right now to take an hour and 15 minute nap.
That's perfect. Got to keep yourself refreshed, recharge those batteries. Text right away, Andrew from Maine, do you also have lots of promos for Matinair on Air today? We'll see. And if we do, Todd Elbaugh will just have to deal with it.
Yes. That's right. My global domination yesterday.
Global domination!
Speaking of the Super Bowl, you can listen if you want to listen to the game. Radio from the Center on Sunday, WRCO in Richland Center, 100.9 FM. It's the Niners and the Chiefs. Our coverage starts at 1 o'clock on Sunday, and then kickoff is at 5:30.
And then like 12 hours later, the game will be done.
That's what it seems like.
It's like five. You have to budget 5 hours for that game now.
Easily. And then if you want to do all the pregame, good heavens.
That starts tomorrow.
Yeah. It really does. It really does. We are going to start off, though, with the weather events that we had yesterday.
Yeah.
For the first time in Wisconsin history, we had a tornado.
In February.
This is obviously not normal.
No.
And I was watching our news team and our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, really did a great job trying to keep an eye on what was happening with this storm.
Mm-hmm.
But it touched down around Evansville, southwestern area of the state. And according to an article I saw this morning, a resident of Evansville basically said, it's all gone. It's all gone. At least 20 homes and businesses damaged by Thursday's tornado that struck last night in Evansville. The one guy that there was interviewed in this story is a homeowner and a landlord who's got damage to outbuildings. He's got good tenants, he says, but I can't give them a home anymore. I've worked on this for 10 to 15 years, and now it's just all gone.
Oh, my God.
This storm system, as we talked to Brittany about this, that this was going to be coming our way, and this was the same storm system that dumped all that rain on California.
Yeah.
And then ultimately moved its way here.
And came in the form of a tornado. Like, I was telling Pat Kreitlow this morning on the show, when I got home, a couple hours after I got home yesterday, it just started raining. You know, just some rain, no big deal. Then it was done. No lightning, no thunder. It was windy. But then when I saw messages coming through saying there are tornadoes, like, that can't be right.
Well, isn't it interesting, too? It's so regional.
Yes.
It's so regional. And we got clipped with a little bit. We're on the northwest side of Milwaukee. And we got clipped with a little rain and certainly some lightning and thunder, but nothing dramatic that happened here. This is the first time a tornado has touched down in Wisconsin in February, part of a storm system tracking across southern Wisconsin with strong winds, lightning, and hail. All Evansville Community School District schools are shut today because of the storms, and they don't have power. So I don't know. We will keep an eye and see if there's going to be some Red Cross, if there's places people can make donations. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you'd like to absolutely. Help these folks out in Evansville. And also go to civicmedia.us and then go to our news page. Brittany Merlot has a really great story about the storm and a really impressive picture, too, that either Jimmy Cuska took or one of our other guys in Madison. So that was pretty scary.
Brittany used to be, well, she might still be a storm chaser. Did storm chasing, like, I remember she talked about it, and she's on Twitter, and she's got pictures of her storm chasing past. It's like, I can't even imagine doing that.
I can't either.
Like, it seems really exciting, like right here in this very safe room
yeah.
where nothing could get me. Storm chasing, intriguing, fascinating. They were like, you want to get in the car? I'd be like, absolutely not.
I'll stay here.
I'll be the guy at the chair. I'll order lunch for you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Someone has to do that yeah. job.
It'll be a nice warm pizza when you get here.
Well, and I know as she was following the storm last night, she does follow a number of storm chasers.
Yeah.
And that's where she was getting some of her information. I would think if you're a storm chaser, it's got to be either really exciting or a lot of hurry up and wait.
Oh yeah.
Right? You go following something and it dissipates.
Mm-hmm.
And now you wait another 3 hours until something else shows up and you follow that and it dissipates.
Yeah.
So we'll have to ask her more about
patience and a sense of adventure
to be a storm chaser. The qualities mm-hmm. of a good storm chaser.
Yes.
This weather, and we've talked about this before, though, is having really, really detrimental effects in a large, I mean, most of northern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
They don't have any snow. The Birkebeiner, we're still waiting. I think.
Yes.
Is it Monday? I think Monday is going to be the day that they're going to decide whether or not or in what form the race is going to happen.
Well, as Sean said when he was on the show, the option of just canceling it outright is not out of the question because, you know, before they were able to shovel snow onto the path, if they don't have enough snow in the forest.
You can't, no. There's just no way.
No.
Logistically, there's just no way to do that.
We got our fingers crossed for them. We hope them the best. We hope we get something. Yes.
The race canceled because of a lack of snow only twice before, most recently in 2017,
yeah.
not that long ago. We will wait again until Monday, I think, is when the decision is going to be made. But if you're heading up in that direction, don't cancel your plans.
Don't.
Even though there's no snowmobiling.
Find something else to do.
Yeah. Those resorts and those restaurants and those supper clubs need it.
Yes.
They really need the business. And as we're talking about tornadoes in February.
Sorry, also, I'm not laughing at tornadoes. Just your face. Just like, oh, God.
Well, okay. This also came, and I think this all kind of ties together because it is about our changing climate.
It's all connected.
So yesterday, a jury awarded $1 million to climate scientist Michael Mann. He sued a pair of conservative writers 12 years ago.
Yeah.
It took 12 years for this case to work its way through the courts. They didn't like one of his reports on climate change and essentially compared him to Jerry Sandusky, the former assistant football coach at Penn State, who was convicted of sexually assaulting multiple children. He's a climate scientist.
Yeah, this guy wasn't saying anything crazy sexy either about science. He was just talking about climate science and climate change.
The reason why he sued, one of these guys could be said to be the Jerry Sandusky of climate science, except for instead of molesting children, he has molested and tortured data.
That's... I'm sorry, but as a person who indulges in writing, I would never be proud of writing that sentence. I would never certainly put it out onto a blog, which, by the way, these guys are bloggers.
They say they were merely stating their opinions. That was still found... They were found guilty.
Yeah, as they should be. And, of course, they say they're going to appeal. Of course, they say that this didn't make that big of a deal. He didn't. In fact, he got more famous because of it.
Yes, more famous and more death threats, yeah,
and
most
lost
likely.
Job opportunities.
Right.
Yeah.
The jury awarded compensatory and punitive damages could result in the judge reducing the punitive damages. But again, it was only about $1 million. It's not like we're talking E. Jean Carroll money where it was $83 million. But as I was following this story after it broke in the Associated Press yesterday, a lot of other climate scientists were just weighing in on the amount of crap that they face now and the amount of threats that they get for doing research.
Yeah. When they present this information, they're not saying climate change is real, and if you don't believe it, you're an idiot. They're just giving you data.
They're presenting their results.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. I mean, I certainly knew that people in our health industry, Dr. Fauci, you know, was demonized over COVID. But we need to think about this, folks, as a society. We just threaten everyone now who disagrees with us. Election workers, poll workers, scientists, climate scientists, teachers.
Teachers. Yeah. Librarians.
Librarians.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, folks.
And what's the through line? All those individuals are doing something which can bring an individual out of their comfort zone. They're doing something that may present a different opinion than what they believe or were raised to believe. You know, librarians, there are books there that challenge your beliefs. So I'm going to get mad at a 22-year-old librarian. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Climate scientists. Are you kidding me?
Well, at least there was a decision in this scientist's favor after 12 years of litigation. As you said, it will most likely go to appeal. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on this.
And how much is he even going to walk? If he goes to
appeal. By the time he pays all his lawyers?
I was going to say, 12 years of lawyers?
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. He's going to probably walk away with $38.
Probably not going to be a big windfall for him.
No.
But it's about his reputation. That's what he was more concerned about, what is his reputation. All right. It's a growing problem, Greg. And is it going to end up in Wisconsin?
Climate change?
No.
Bad healthcare.
That's not it either.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking possibly, immigrants caravanning into our state.
Something even scarier. It's happening in Idaho. Will it happen here? We'll talk about that next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Spoilers, Calvin.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always call or text. We'd love to hear from you at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Or leave a message on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. All of the important issues of the day. We have problems at the border. We have problems with inflation. We have so many things going on. I can now relax.
Yeah.
Because a lawmaker from Idaho is zeroing in on something that should concern all of us.
I'm concerned about a lot of things. I think, I'm concerned about a lot of things. But what are you most concerned about?
Well, Representative Heather Scott, who is a Republican from Idaho, told a legislative committee yesterday she is worried about a rise in cannibalism.
What?
She said, quote, "This is going to be normalized at some point, the way our society's going and the direction we're going." Her bill would add Idaho, already the only state that outlaws cannibalism. This would expand that. It would ban giving someone the flesh or blood of a human being without their knowledge or consent. Ms. Scott, from Idaho, said she's been disturbed recently by the practice of human composting. Now, this is a thing.
Yeah.
In some states, burial can be very expensive for people.
Yes, yes. It's an alternative.
It is an alternative to burial and cremation.
Yes.
And they ultimately allow the body to do what it would do in its natural state and break down, and then you use that as compost.
Yeah.
We all end up back in the earth in one form or another.
Unless you're buried in a casket, then you're just sitting there.
Well, you're still, things are still going to happen. Trust me. Yeah. she said outlawing composting would require overhauling rules for morticians, and she doesn't want to do that. So instead,
she's pro-business.
She is focused on deliberately banning the use of giving another person human flesh. I didn't want to see that in my Home Depot.
Okay. All right. Couple things. First of all, can you go back? They said you cannot give someone human flesh without consent or without their knowledge.
Yeah, yes.
That's a wonderfully written sentence, if I might say.
Now, banning giving the flesh or blood of a human being without that person's knowledge or consent.
So, like, there's two scenarios in my head. Like, Jane, you and I are walking down the street in opposite directions, and I just have a bag of person on me. And just as you're walking past me, bloop, just put it right in your purse. I just broke the law in Idaho. Or the other one, same idea. We're walking down the street. Opposite directions. I have a bag of human and I open it and I just whip it right at your face.
And my mouth is open.
And you're like, I didn't ask for this. Arrest that man. He threw human at me.
If you're just joining us, Representative Heather Scott, Republican from Idaho.
Hero.
Is a hero for the anti-cannibalism movement. She told a legislative committee Thursday she's concerned that more people are eating other people. Best of all, during her testimony, she said she was on an airplane over the summer and saw a clip from a TV show that showed a chef feeding human flesh in sausage to contestants. And that's what inspired her to do something about this. A search on YouTube showed several years ago, True TV had a prank show where they pretended to feed people humans.
First of all, that's a weird prank. That's just a very weird prank.
Yes, it's a really that's disgusting. Twisted that's and disgusting. Awful. Yes,
But also she shouldn't be allowed to be in office or fly in planes anymore. Nothing good comes of either. Yeah, that's the weird thing too. Is that she doesn't pull back either when she someone had to obviously told her this
was a prank.
This was a prank. Well, still, and I really actually give it up to Representative Scott for not invoking the woke mind virus in this, because that's what they will do. Like, because she said the way this country is going, in my head, all I'm hearing is like, just say woke.
She thinks we're going to be generally adopting cannibalism.
We're going to be eating the flesh of woke trans dead people. And it's going to poison and rot the fabric of America, Jane. Are you with me or are you against me?
Apparently, I'm a bad American.
You want to eat people,
no,
huh?
No, I don't want
Soylent Green for this lady.
Soylent Green is people.
It's people.
It's people.
It's people, people.
I guess my larger point, folks, if you're thinking about running for office, you should do so. If these are the people who are currently serving and getting paid with taxpayer dollars.
Yeah.
I think there are many, many, many people listening who are absolutely qualified and could run on the anti-cannibalism platform.
There are many offices you could seek. I mean, from state, from a local level to state level to federal level, individuals watching the live stream, listening to the radio or listening to this as a podcast, I'm going to bet dollars to donuts that you are at least 20 to 30 times smarter than some of the people that we encounter who make laws in this world.
I just think it's really eye-opening. I do.
Yeah.
I do. What some of our lawmakers think is worthy of their time and addressing the big issues that are affecting people and affecting America. It's not healthcare.
It's not immigrants.
It's not immigrants. It's not the border.
Nope.
It's not inflation.
It's not terrorism.
Cannibalism.
It's cannibalism.
The worst ism of all.
Yes. The worst ism. It's the worst ism. It's the worst of them.
I know. You could just eat, right? You just got to shake your head and go, what?
Well, that's my thought. Is she's at some event. She's at a VFW. There's a chicken dinner. Come meet your local represented elected officials. And she stands up and starts saying the things I'm doing at the state house. Protecting you, protecting your family. And there's a guy, looks like me. He's a farmer from Idaho. And she says, I'm protecting you from one of the biggest threats that they're not talking about in the mainstream media. I'm protecting you against cannibalism. And that guy who looks like me just goes, what? That's what he says. What?
And then he offers her a cannibal sandwich.
They wouldn't know what that is. They wouldn't know the beauty that is a cannibal sandwich.
Wouldn't that be a nice little circle around?
What's on the menu for tonight's meeting? Raw meat and onions.
Yes. We need to move to Idaho now.
You can. Thank
just
you.
Just so we can invite her to come and speak, and we'll have a buffet afterwards. It'll be a lot of fun.
I'll have pizza.
Stay close. News is coming up next. Dan Schaefer will be here at 10:33 so we can recombobulate. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Thank you for joining us. If you are listening in La Crosse on WLCX The Eagle. And just a reminder, if you want to listen to the game tonight, the Bucks hosting the Hornets. They did not have a good game last night. The Bucks hosting the Hornets. You can listen to the game tonight on Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK in beautiful Amory, Wisconsin. Dan Schaefer is here. This may throw you off a little bit. You might have to recombobulate because Dan is normally with us on Tuesdays. Now Dan is joining us every Friday at this time for our Friday recombobulation. Good morning, Dan Schaefer. How are you?
Here.
Oh, we just missed you. Say that again.
Guy said good morning, everyone. Happy to be here.
We have lots of things to talk about. Did you want to start with poll numbers? Did you want to start with your latest column? Where would you like to go first?
Oh, there's so much to recombobulate. I like that we're having this segment now at the end of the week because we have such a discombobulating news cycle all week. We can get together on Friday mornings and really recombobulate.
Exactly.
So my most recent piece posted last night was on the Marquette poll numbers. We could get into that first if you'd like.
Let's talk about Mr. 17%, Robin Voss.
One more percent.
Yeah, let's talk about Robin Voss. Obviously the nation kind of tunes into the Marquette University Law School poll results to see where Wisconsin is, on the top of the ticket, the Biden-Trump matchup, how that's going to factor in and everything. Surprise, surprise, it's a toss-up. It's dead even. It's kind of where Wisconsin always is with these types of things. But I think, for those of us living in the state here, lots of intrigue with the poll results throughout the poll. And none more interesting, I think, at this critical moment for the Wisconsin State Legislature is the approval rating of the Wisconsin State Legislature and its leader, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Now, these, the Marquette Law School poll will track the approval rating of the legislature over time, will track the favorability rating of the Assembly Speaker over time. And I did a little bit of research on this for my piece here, and I found that the Wisconsin legislature and Robin Voss have never had worse numbers for approval and favorability rating than in this very poll at this very moment.
That's a that's new achievement, actually. Woohoo! you did something.
And, you know, I talked to Charles Franklin, the poll director at Marquette, about this for a podcast you can listen to at the Recombobulation Area as well. But he's going to be polling the approval rating. He's always polled approval rating for the governor, but now he's going to in every poll. But now he's going to add the legislature and the Wisconsin Supreme Court in every poll. So that is going to be an interesting thing to watch this year as well, as those two branches of government come into real focus. As of late. So if you kind of look at those three branches, Tony Evers has a 51% favorability rating or a 51% approval rating. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has a 45% approval rating to just 43% disapprove. And the Wisconsin State Legislature really stands out among those three branches of government, just a 34% approval rating to 58%. Disapprove. So a net minus 24, which is pretty bad, and is about as bad as we've ever seen for the Wisconsin State Legislature polled, which I think is pretty interesting because they've been in such the spotlight in recent months as we talk about redistricting, as we talk about so many different bills making their way through the state legislature. So I think, you know, we really need to really, I think it's important, you know, traditional media doesn't always, you know, characterize Robin Voss and the state legislature this way, of having these, you know, super low favorability ratings. I don't know how you can ignore these numbers though, because the numbers don't lie, and the numbers show that the Wisconsin State Legislature and its Republican leader are remarkably unpopular.
Well, Robin Voss took to Twitter this morning and said very, very, very confidently, if you actually look at the poll, if you actually look at the poll, you'll see most of the respondents who rated me are unfavorably are Democrats. Doing my job, making sure Wisconsin doesn't become Illinois or Minnesota makes the left very angry at me, and that's truly a badge of honor. Boy, what a terrible thing to say out loud.
Yeah, he's well, he is who he is, isn't he? He's on brand as ever.
Yeah, you may as well embrace it because, as you said, the numbers are the numbers, and now they can take these numbers right before they go off on vacation again.
Yep.
I have a suggestion the next time you talk to Mr. Franklin. It might be fun to do some ranked choice voting when we're talking about popularity, so we could have cockroaches and syphilis and
cannibals.
It just might spice things up a little bit. I'm just trying to help.
Yeah, and to the assembly speaker's point too, he said, "Oh, it's just Democrats who are opposed to me." I'll read from my breakdown here. Voters are largely. I'm sorry. One second here. I had the wrong.
Got to find the right.
Thing.
Yep, you got to find the right graph.
Voss polls poorly with women, 12% favorable to 35% unfavorable. And now especially poorly now with independents, just 15% favorable to 45% unfavorable. That's with independents, not just Democrats. He's a double-digit net negative with all age groups, all education levels, and in every region of the state.
Wow.
Jay,
his negatives are now even rising among the quote-unquote very conservative voters. You know, perhaps these are those who are pushing to recall him in his home district. He was plus 18 with those very conservative voters last fall and just plus 8 now. So it's not just Democrats who are opposed to him. It is independents. It is women. It is people all across the state. He is just a remarkably, remarkably unpopular politician. His net favorables are worse than any state politician polled in this poll. And they try to explain it away. Well, many people aren't familiar with him. Maybe many people don't have, an opinion on him, but the net number is the one really to look at, you know, not even Ron Johnson, not even Donald Trump, not even, you know, anybody on the left that might have poor favorability numbers right now too, are anywhere close to approaching what Robin Voss has.
Even cannibals get better numbers apparently than Robin Voss.
I haven't seen you this happy since we talked about birds.
I just think it's, I pick on Mr. Voss.
That's King Voss to you.
I read that Popcorn King. But I'm so impressed that he did so well. I mean, again, this is quite an accomplishment to make yourself that unpopular. I think he should get credit where credit is due. We do have Stephen on the line from Green Bay, 844-967-2789. Stephen, thank you for your patience. What did you want to say to Dan?
Well, first of all, I want to thank Dan for his newsletter that he puts out. I read it myself last night. And after a week of confusing news cycle and a tirelessly packed news cycle, I'm glad that I could read his piece and uncombobulate my brain for a little bit and go to sleep with, not a tied up brain. With that being said, it is almost like people don't like someone who uses their office to tell women what they can do with their bodies and gavel in and gavel out and not do his job. It's almost like people are getting wise to, you know, Mr. Voss' tactics. And I have something to say to Mr. Voss. Maybe you should do all of Wisconsinites a favor and remove yourself from office and go back into the popcorn popping business, because you seem to be doing better at popcorn popping than you are actually, you know, legislating for, you know, your constituents in the state of Wisconsin. Just a thought.
I appreciate you checking in, Stephen. Thank you so much for listening, as always.
It's interesting, too, because, like, they just had the recall Voss event and Sturt event that Matt, that Dan, I know you were very excited about. You posted about it. There was going to be a light appetizer section. But
I thought about going. I didn't end up going.
Me too.
I did give it serious consideration to go see Mike Lindell speak about Robin Voss.
That's right. Mike Lindell was there. I forgot.
Yeah.
Right.
But the thing, too, is that, like, you know, I mean, I'm personally not a huge fan of recalls. I don't think they're always successful. I think they, but he also is up for re-election this year. So just wait a little bit. And I want to see if he's going to step down.
No.
Before, you don't think he'll, you think he's going to keep running?
Well, you know, maybe not, because losing would be really humiliating.
I think losing in a primary would be even worse
for him. Really humiliating. What do you think, Dan? Any feelings about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's in such a safe district that, like, anybody with an R next to their name is going to be the heavy favorite to win there. But, you know, at the end of his term, his current term, he will have served in the state assembly for 20 years.
Yeah.
He is the longest serving assembly speaker in state history. He has been in that role for 20 years. A nice round number if he wants to not seek re-election.
It looked good on a cake
at the end of this. What I think is that if he wants to keep running in his district, you know, if the voters in his district keep electing him, that, you know, that's up to the voters in his district.
Absolutely.
Right. The problem that I have is with him as assembly speaker, because if he is trying to do this, you know, if he is a statewide figure, he is the most powerful person in the most powerful branch of government in the state of Wisconsin. He has to govern for the whole state. He has to govern for consensus.
According to him, he is, Dan. Okay. We're not Minnesota and we're not Illinois. So you're welcome.
You mean he has to govern people who didn't vote for him? What are you, a radical?
I just think that's the issue. If he wants to keep representing the Western Racine County, go ahead. You know, it's up to those voters to make that decision. But I think at a certain point, you have to think about a change in leadership for the state legislature. Maybe we should even, you know, create some rules to prevent a future Robin Voss to term limit the assembly speaker or something like that. I think it's way too long for one person to be in that role. And I think as the polling indicates, people are just growing more and more and more tired of his act.
844-967-2789 if you want to join us. Bill from Oconomowoc, our friend. Good morning, Bill. Thank you for your patience.
Good morning, Jane, and it's always a great topic. By the way, why doesn't 1510 give Robin Voss an award for the worst politician ever in Wisconsin? We ought to at least recognize when somebody works that hard to be that bad. With recognition. But I do have a question for you, Jane. I hope you can answer. What happened to Matt Flynn?
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Bill. we're going to move on from that. That's not really something that we're talking about right now. But I appreciate your question. But I agree with Bill in that he should be recognized for doing that badly. It's an accomplishment. It's people just don't get enough credit when they work that hard.
I mean, Dan brings up a very good point. And I bet you if you took a secret poll amongst the Republicans in the assembly, I bet you many people would agree with Dan saying, yeah, he should have given it up, like, say, 4, 5, 6, 8 years ago and let some new blood in there. But no, he's not. As long as he's in there, he's going to maintain control. But I don't think people fear him the way they used to.
You agree with that, Dan?
I agree. And I think we've seen, you know, evidence of that. This past year, as you know, members of his own party have gone against him on a number of issues. Mm-hmm. And I think just his overall level of control that he has, you know, over the Republican caucus seems to be weakening. So it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, if he's going to have to face a more competitive landscape for the state assembly this year. What might change with that? Yeah. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what type of action they might take.
We are going to continue recombobulating. If you want to join us, 844-967-2789. Our guest is Dan Schaefer. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'll be rocking, getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on?
Good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. We are recombobulating. We have moved our recombobulation from Tuesdays to Fridays. We're recombobulating with the award-winning Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area. And we had a couple of texts that came in. It would be nice, this is from Wes from Middleton, listening on WRCE. Thank you, Wes. It would be nice if Voss got primaried from the right and lost. That would be the Wisconsin GOP cutting off its own head. The man is one of the big brains of their evil operation. He'd be hard for them to replace, especially with competitive maps.
You know, that primary that we had, that they had during the 2022 midterms, when Donald Trump endorsed his primary endorser.
Right.
There's all sorts of goofy things happening with that. Voss won by a pretty slim margin there. So, you know, it's whether this recall attempt actually gets the signatures. I'm kind of skeptical that they'll actually get there or not. You know, I think it's just going to be a different kind of year for Robin Voss and the caucus that he oversees. You know, I think the likelihood, you know, ever since he's been assembly speaker, there's been more than 60 Republicans in the state assembly. Depending on how things go for the maps over the next few weeks, when maps are going to be in place, hopefully by March 15th, about a month from now, it's going to be a different environment. So whether it's, you know, and I think Democrats would be smart to tie Robin Voss to every member of the assembly. If he's going to run for re-election again, you know, tie him to every member of the assembly. He's an absolutely toxic personality and the Wisconsin political landscape, and to the extent that people know him, they tend to dislike him. So I think, you know, the more people will tie him to Voss, you know, Voss, I think there's a lot of Trump supporters out there who also don't like Voss.
Oh, sure.
Because Voss went on record to say he wants to do everything in his power to make sure Donald Trump's not the nominee. That's really not working out for him, as the polls show Donald Trump winning about 2/3 of the you know, vote from Wisconsin Republicans in the primary right now. So it certainly looks, you know, so I think it's just like, it's not just Democrats who are against him. It's independents who are extremely anti-Voss. And it's even a rising number of conservatives who are against the assembly speaker too. So, you know, as we look out, this is one of the things I mentioned in my piece too, is as we look out at what might be the most challenging electoral landscape that Republicans have seen in the state legislature in a generation, I think Democrats have, and independents who want change, have reason to be optimistic here, because the favorability rating for Voss is so low, the approval rating for the legislature is so low.
844-967-2789. Gary from Sussex, thank you for your patience. Gary, good morning. Did you have a question for Dan?
Yeah, I got a couple questions. First of all, I'm a Republican conservative, and I like listening to you guys. I listen to you know, lefty radio all the time because I learn. If I listen to Fox all the time, I'm going to hear one side. All right, mm-hmm. So this way I get to, you know, choose how I want to believe. The question I have for you is, it was the team that was always in charge, you know, of the legislative. They always got to draw the maps, whether it was Democrats or Republicans. Is this the rule, or is this just a kind of a unwritten rule that who's ever in charge at that time get to write the maps? You know, that's one of the questions. And then I wanted to know, the other question is, how did Ron Johnson get elected senator again, running against Mandela Barnes, when the Republicans really didn't do well in the last, you know, election? How does Ron Johnson keep getting elected? Because there must be a lot of people that like what he's doing. So those are two questions I have.
Appreciate it, Gary. Gary. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for listening. Really, we genuinely really appreciate it.
Excellent questions.
Yeah.
From my experience working in government, I worked in government when the maps that were enacted right now were being drawn. We were told that the Republicans were going to have the final say, but we as the city gave our input into what we think should happen. We had maps we drew and gave recommendations, whether they took them or not, they didn't.
Right.
That's part of the process. But now it seems like people are just used to, that's it. The Republicans made the maps. That's it. There was actually a process. Whether they listened to other people is another subject to discuss.
So what it says in the state constitution about redistricting is that after every census, I think the phrasing is that the legislature will apportion and district anew. So they're supposed to, you know, that's the language that says you have to create new maps every 10 years. Because Republicans have been in control of that process for the last few decades, they have been the ones drawing the maps. Now, in 2011, when they did that, they obviously also had the governor's governor in control, Republican governor. Because of that, they were able to pass whatever they wanted to sign. But part of the process is that the legislature will propose maps and that the governor has to sign them. That's kind of just the basics of how the redistricting process works in the most simple way. Because Wisconsin has so often had divided government over the years, though, that goes to, you know, just to go through the checks and balances, that goes to the courts. So we have had many, many times in Wisconsin's history where the court has ended up ruling on the maps because we've had this impasse. We've had an impasse between divided government. You know, I was thinking back to the process from a couple years ago now, when we had new maps at the end of it to start off the 2020s, you know, the governor put forth his People's Maps Commission maps for the legislature to vote on. The legislature put forth their maps to vote on. But what they did was that they passed something, the legislature ended up passing something that was even more extreme than the maps that they had from a decade prior. What they could have done is propose something that maybe the governor would have signed that would have, you know, kind of eliminated all of these legal challenges to recognize that we are in a, you know, moment of divided government. But instead, they just kind of went through and said, yeah, we're going to do whatever we want and hope the courts back us up, because they had the conservative majority as their firewall there. And essentially that's what happened. And now that the court has flipped, everything else is flipped.
Yeah.
We are recombobulating with Dan Schaefer now every Friday from 10:30 to 11. Thank you so very much, Dan. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Friday.
Thank you so much.
Stay close. News is coming up next. Next hour, we're going to go live to Vegas at 11:30. Talk to Mike Clemens from Civic Media about all the preparations for Sunday's big game. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Again,
try to see it my way. Only time will tell if I am right or I am wrong. Why do you see it your way? There's a chance that we might fall apart before too long. We can work it out.